Number 8, since all mentoring relationships are not the same, nor are they supposed to be, is there a way to help us grasp the various levels of involvement and intensity within the different types of mentoring relationships? Well, I'm glad to say that there is. The three different levels of mentoring that we're going to examine and the various types of involvement within each level come from Paul Stanley and J. Robert Clinton's book, Connecting. These mentoring levels and the various types of involvement in each one may not be an exhaustive list on the subject, but their purpose is to help clarify the variety found within mentoring relationships. So these different levels and the different types of involvement within each level, just keep in mind that this is not an exhaustive list. There are probably a lot more within each of these levels that could be said, but we simply do not have time in this series to discuss that. Terms and division of levels provide handles that help with the digesting of pertinent information. So it's going to be good that we label these levels and that we also describe and label some of the various types or functions of involvement within each level. That helps us in our understanding when we can actually reach out and grab something and tag it with a name and a label. There are three levels of mentoring, or what might be called three groupings of mentors. Now, whenever you mentor another individual, your relationship as mentor will fall into one of these three levels. These three levels are intensive mentoring, occasional mentoring, and passive mentoring. And as the term suggests, intensive mentoring is more deliberate and involves a greater amount of accountability and a greater amount of involvement than do the others. Passive mentoring would require the least amount, while occasional mentoring is in the middle of the road. On the left-hand side of a piece of paper, near the top, write the word intensive. On the right-hand side of the paper, write the word passive. And in the middle, write the word occasional. These are the three levels of mentoring, or the three groupings of mentors. The farther left one goes, the more intense the relationship becomes, while the farther right one goes, the less intense the relationship becomes. The intensive mentor may meet weekly at 5:30 in the morning with lots of homework, while the passive mentor may not meet at all. So you can see from looking at your paper, from the left side to the right side, there is great amount of difference with levels of involvement and levels of intensity. Now, on your sheet of paper, under the word intensive, write these words. Discipler, spiritual guide, and coach. These are three types of functions a mentor may use while in the intensive level. The discipler enables the mentoree to learn the basics of following Christ. The spiritual guide, on the other hand, helps the mentoree in the area of spiritual maturity, while the coach provides motivation and skills for the mentoree to accomplish a task or a challenge. Now, on your sheet of paper, under the word occasional, write these words: counselor, teacher, and sponsor. These are three types of functions that a mentor may use while in the occasional level of mentoring. A counselor offers advice and perspective on one's circumstances and viewpoints. The teacher offers specific knowledge and understanding regarding a particular subject. And the sponsor offers guidance and protection as someone moves through an organization. On your sheet of paper, under the word passive, write these words: contemporary model and historical model. These are the types of functions a mentor may use while in the passive level of mentoring. In the contemporary model, someone who is a living model inspires another, while in the historical model, someone who has since died, but whose story or whose teachings live on to inspire others. That's why it's called historical. On your sheet of paper, you have the three levels of mentoring, or three groupings of mentors, from the more deliberate, on your left, intensive relationships, to the least deliberate, which would be the passive relationships, on the right. Under each level heading, you have several functions or several roles that a mentor may play for the mentoree. Now, at this point, I have only given you very brief descriptions of each function, so you can see the big picture and get the big perspective of where we are in the study and where we're going with these levels of mentoring. And as we examine each one more carefully, a greater amount of information will come to fruition. But before we examine each one individually, let's discuss the dynamics that are vital to the mentoring relationship, as mentioned by Stanley and Clinton in their book Connecting. The three vital dynamics in a successful mentoring relationship are: first, you need attraction. Second, you need responsiveness. And third, you need accountability. And when these three dynamics are present, a rewarding relationship is likely to occur. Since mentoring is a relationship, there are all kinds of factors that affect and influence it. And we've already discussed several of them. One's needs, the shared values and basic philosophies of life, those affect and influence the relationship. The proximity of each participant, how close you are, how close you live together so that you can maintain the relationship, that influences and affects it. The amount of time involved affects and influences the relationship. Are you able to spend good quality time together? Or is your time together more of a hit and miss? And more likely miss. Well, that influences the relationship. And all of these have varying degrees of influence upon the relationship. And all of these are very important factors. And we don't want to discard them or discount them whatsoever. But the three most important factors that make for a successful mentoring relationship, one that empowers the mentoree toward further growth and further development, are attraction, responsiveness, and accountability. Now, attraction is the beginning point. It is the starting of the relationship. Mentorees don't merely pick a name out of the bottom of a hat. Normally, they choose a mentor to whom they are naturally drawn toward. Learning is much more difficult to transfer when the mentoree is linked with someone they don't want to be matched with. And so, since they don't want to be in the relationship, their attitude is not open to new learning. Now think about it. When you chose someone that you wanted to learn something from, you didn't choose the person that you least like to be around, or the person that you couldn't stand. You chose someone with whom there was an attraction. You were attracted to that person for some very specific reasons. And the result of that was that your mind and spirit were open to learning. You see, learning is greatly enhanced when the mentoree is attracted to the mentor. And because the mentoree wants to be in the relationship, and because the mentor is someone they want to be mentored by, their attitude is eager to pursue new learning. Attraction is a vital dynamic for successful mentoring relationships. Responsiveness simply refers to the willingness of the mentoree to learn from another. It is attitude transferred into action. You see, successful mentoring relationships are not one-way streets. Two individuals must work together. And exhibiting the right attitude is like an open door, ready and willing to allow learning into one's life. The importance of attitude clearly shows up in the realm of sports. And it really doesn't matter what the sport is. If an athlete believes he or she will not or cannot win, then they probably won't win. Their attitude affects their motivation and their performance. Now, on the other hand, the athlete who mentally says, "I can win. No one can beat me," has a much greater chance of performing well. Attitude has a direct correlation to motivation and performance. Now, without going to the extreme on the matter, let us say that a positive mental attitude really is beneficial in life. Now, the mentoree whose attitude is positive toward the mentoring relationship is much, much more likely to be motivated and much, much more likely to be responsive to fulfilling their role in the relationship. You see, attitude is important because it affects the learning process. It helps to open up the mind and the spirit to learning. Accountability helps keep the learning relationship pure by making certain that learning is occurring. As I stated earlier, people tend to do not what we expect, but what we inspect. Sharing expectations, reviewing the mentoree's work, and reviewing the mentoree's progress is really helpful for the mentoree. It helps him or her to apply new learning to his or her own life situations. It's a method of saying, this is where we want to go in our relationship. This is where we are now, and this is what we need to accomplish if we are going to get there. So accountability brings a sense of meaning and inspection to the process. Now, I've been involved in mentoring relationships, and accountability is certainly a big factor. I've seen individuals who have yearned for a great amount of accountability and have learned a great amount of things because I was inspecting their progress. And I've met others and been involved in relationships where accountability is not wanted, it is not desired, and the learning curve is not as great. They learn some things, certainly, by virtue of the relationship, but without that accountability factor, without it being very great or very important in the life of the mentoree, their learning was not maximized. They did not reach the potential of what they could have learned and what they should have learned. These three vital dynamics may be found in varying degrees of intensity and focus depending upon the specific mentoring situation. These three dynamics are very interrelated too. If there is no attraction to the mentor, then the degree of responsiveness and the degree of accountability will be low, resulting in a mentoring relationship with low potential. With a greater degree of attraction, there is a higher degree of potential responsiveness and potential accountability, which in turn results in a much more successful relationship. It is key, then, to recognize the importance of these dynamics, especially the dynamic of attraction, as it is foundational to everything else. And one can really be attracted to just about anything. Mentorees are often attracted to certain mentors because of their perspective on life or their perspective on a specific issue or because of their knowledge and skill regarding a certain subject that the mentoree is interested in. Attraction can result from shared values. It can result from personal experiences. It can result from accomplishments. Maybe you like the mentor because of the accomplishments that he or she has made. Attraction can be the result of character. It can be the result of spiritual maturity. It could be the result of attitude. It could be the result of a lifestyle that is modeled by the mentor. It could even be the mentor's influence. Or it could be a whole host of other things. But the point is, attraction is foundational, and there can be many points at which attraction can take place. And it need not be merely one point, but it can be a combination of these. In other words, you may be attracted to a mentor who models a lifestyle that attracts you to him or her, who also demonstrates a spiritual maturity that impresses you, and who also has a great deal of influence in the particular realm that you're interested in. See, all these can be mixed and matched. But the point is, we need that foundational attraction to help get the mentoring relationship off to a good start and to assure that it reaches its maximum potential. Because the foundational issue of attraction influences and affects the other two dynamics of responsibility and accountability.